Team Ace, Finnegan and Donick, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee. Vanderbilt wins 70, yes, I said 70, to 21 against Georgia State on Saturday. The Commodores, most points in a game in more than 100 years. And Clark, I tripped over my tongue earlier and stumbled into a title for your weekly segment. I'm going to call it 4-0-Clark. Do you approve of that?
I think that's great. I'm all in on that.
Okay, good to know. We will print the T-shirts. So before the Georgia State game on Saturday, you spoke about how the loss to the Panthers last season served as a reminder that you can't skip steps as you build up your program. So what did it mean to you to watch your team put forth the performance it did against those same Panthers on Saturday?
It meant a lot. You know, we're serious about what we're doing, and these guys are focused. They were focused all week. I thought they put the work in prep, and it showed up for us on Saturday. And, yeah, I mean, I think every time you're out there, you're learning about your team. You're learning about your connection with your team. What motivates them? I don't know. And so for them to come through with a performance like that, to have the pedal down from the start, be focused and detailed in their execution, that all that stuff just continues to build trust and gets me excited for us to go chase some more.
The SEC is set tomorrow to release its new 9-game schedule, which means that the SEC is also prepare to unveil the 3 annual opponents for the next 4 seasons. Now, those opponents have been leaked, and it has been reported that Vanderbilt will face Auburn, Mississippi State, and Tennessee each season. What are your thoughts on that? And did you have any input on who Vanderbilt's annual opponents would be?
I had no input, and I feel like it's great. I love the games we played even since I've been here as coach, against South Carolina, against Kentucky. And obviously those teams will be on or off our schedule depending on how the schedules line up. But again, at the end of the day, an SEC game is an SEC game. Obviously, to keep the in-state rivalry intact, I expected that. I'm excited for our league and for college football to get extra SEC football and to be honest with you, like, I got enough on my plate in 25. I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about 26 yet. But when we get to February, maybe I'll have some more thoughts.
Good answer, Coach. We're talking with Coach Clark Lee, Vanderbilt's head football coach. Now, Coach, when, you know, if somebody says, you know, they come out and they ask you, or they tell you your program has a soul now, what do you think? What would your response to that be? Because I'm looking at everything since you've gotten here, especially over the last year and a half, how it seems like there's this heartbeat that's starting to pound real hard now on West End. And then you get sellouts, you get, you know, people coming back, you get national people talking about you. And not just that, you have, you know, people within the campus talking about how, you know, the attitude of the football team is filtering off on other programs. So if somebody says that to you or mentions, what would your response be?
Well, I mean, I agree. I think we've been hard at work at this. Hmm. Now this is my fifth year, and I'll tell you, I mean, 21, we had the defibrillator out and we were just trying to, you know, do something to resuscitate. I mean, it was hard, you know, we had a long way to go. And I didn't even know at the time when I took the job, just how far away we were. And to think back to that point, year one, you know, we didn't have a very good team. We didn't have a ton of foundational support, although I had a leader here in Candace Lee. And then obviously Chancellor Diermeier that were excited to, you know, grow that kind of support and resourcing the program, but there was nothing that was set up right for us to be able to compete and be successful. And so you got a first time head coach in an environment that doesn't know how to take care of itself, learning how to be a head coach, playing in the hardest league in the country. we've come a long way. And I'll tell you that there were kids and players on and staff members in that first team that started creating that pulse. And those people are very meaningful to me because a lot of them weren't rewarded with results, but they invested and they bled into this program. And I felt like year two, we started to show that and we started to represent that in the way we competed on the field. And we were able to find five wins and make progress. And obviously, because we weren't yet involved in the portal or in NIL, you know, we lost some people off that team that were really important to sustaining success. And we probably held on to people that were really needing to move on to allow this program to breathe anew. And so 23 was a setback, but again, I'm not to go through the whole thing. It's just, my point is, you know, obviously there's an external feeling of energy now. There's outside of the program, there's a ripple effect that's happened. And that ripple effect was not created in 2025. That ripple effect started in 2021 internally and has grown internally to the point now where it goes out. So again, to say, I totally understand that feeling of you're seeing the results of investment that started 5 years ago, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah. Clark Lee is with us, Vanderbilt head football coach. They're number 18 in the country now. Clark, it was my first time going to a game at the new stadium, and I kid you, I knew it was a lot better. I knew all about what was happening, but I still couldn't help but really feel like I was in a different venue, so to speak. If I hadn't looked down and looked at the bleachers that were there when I was in school, you know, like that I was sitting on, like that's how I knew I was in the same place. But everything else around me just felt different, looked different, and I'm wondering what your guys thought of as you looked up and you saw the great crowd that you have and the atmosphere there.
First of all, Willie, are you not in the club level?
No, I'm with the people.
Telling me we've got you in the bleachers is what you're telling me.
Oh, I like the bleachers. Okay. That's where I want to be.
Well, I'll see to it that never happens. You know what I mean? You were the sportscaster of the year, weren't you?
I was.
I mean, let's go. Okay. I first of all, thank you for that observation. I'm really proud of Vanderbilt. You know, we've elevated, and this again is a vision that Candace Lee's executing, Chancellor Dearmeyer. I mean, I think there's more to it. Like we eventually, I think in time you're gonna have those bleachers come down too. You know, I mean there's real reason to think that we're gonna totally finish this thing out in a short time here. And it's gonna be really something special. But it does feel new. It feels different. Obviously, we went through the pains of having both sides of the stadium knocked down and under construction, and that was harder than I maybe felt at the time, just because in the time, it's your reality, man. What do? You can't complain about it. You just got to put one foot in front of the other, keep charging forward. But to have it finished, the environment it creates, the energy that we have in the stadium, obviously the product we're putting on the field is inspiring people to show up. And it feels like something totally different. And I think kind of the DeMace's point too, where people have a new perspective on the program, you know, that certainly the play on the field has improved, but also to have a nice stadium to show up to and an environment where you can feel like you're a part of something special. It's just, you know, I guess from my seat, I want to keep it going. I want to take it further. I want to maintain that energy level, and to do that I've got to keep focusing on that product that we're putting on the field. And to me, what's next is, you know, let's turn our attention to a football operations building. Let's really set this program up for sustained success. And I think we're proving to everybody that that's within our reach, you know, but there's certain still foundational investments that need to be made to ensure that we can do that.
Well, one of the things that I was impressed with, six possessions, six touchdowns, but I look at the different, you have so many personnel groups that go in there, and this is probably a credit to Tim Beck, who I know you praise every week, but it's a lot of intricate plays with a lot of different formations, different looks, and a lot of players. But number one, it seems like Diego Pavia has a very good understanding of what's being called. He orchestrates it well. But also, everybody's got to know where they're lining up. You know, we constantly watch football games where teams are – you might have the greatest play ever drawn up, But if you don't line up right or somebody does it wrong, it doesn't work. But you could see all the development. There was a lot of plays that schemed wide open for you, especially in that first half.
Yeah, it is absolutely a credit to Tim and our offensive staff, first with the play design. And that is collaborative. I mean, they co-create in there, and they put our guys in really good positions to be successful. I think they do a great job teaching, and that's what shows up. And, you know, the number of personnel groupings and how nuanced it becomes and how he calls the game is so impressive for me to hear on the headset. And I mean, he is so specific about who is in the game and where and what is the play that's being run. So the credit to him, and then our players, obviously, it's so important to them. They want to be really good. And so they pay attention to the meetings. They take the meetings to the practice field. They're accountable to each other out there so that we can line up on game day and put the pressure on the opponent. And that's what leads to six possessions, six touchdowns. You don't become that efficient without total buy-in in the process. And, you know, that's what's working for us right now. And we, you know, at some point the season's going to challenge us. At some point the ball's going to bounce the other way. You know, we have to steel ourselves and be vigilant in our preparation so that we're ready for those moments. But, I think what we have is an experienced team, and we have a seasoned coordinator, and right now, you know, things are lined up really well. We're putting ourselves in good position, and we're making the plays we need to make.
Now, were those your drones or Corbin's drones or somebody like that that halftime? I'm sure you heard about it. I'd never heard of a drone show before. Maybe a week ago I heard somebody did one, but I'd never seen one. That was really amazing. Where did that come from?
Well, first of all, apparently it was something like 300 drones. I don't know, Willie, honestly.
Yeah,
They said drone show, I thought we'd have two or three up there flying around. That's the most I've ever seen before. But no, I my wife took a video of it, and I saw it after the game, and I was blown away by it. And apparently it got good reviews from the fans, so that's a win. But, yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, I've never seen that many people stay in their seats to watch. It really mesmerized people. So you talk about this a lot, Clark. You want your team to keep striving for better and better. You've got Utah State. What in your mind is the difference? How much tougher is Utah State, say, than Georgia State, a team obviously that beat you last year, but you guys were really ready to play? What about Utah State? What's the scouting report?
Well, this is Bronco Mendenhall, and Bronco is a guy that I got a ton of respect for. He's a program builder. He wins through differentiation. He's going to challenge us. I mean, in all three phases, they're going to have design to beat us, and they're going to come in with confidence, and they're having a good season to this point, and we're going to have to be on our A game, and I trust our team to be there. Obviously that starts for us tomorrow with our practice prep, but this is an offense that's going to run through the quarterback, like similar to ours. You know, there's a quarterback run game element that challenges you, some option plays formationally, unbalanced in motions. So there's going to be similar components to what we see every day defensively. Nick Howell's their coordinator. He was with us here for a couple of years, and they're a pressure-based system. I mean, this is going to be about picking up the pressures and collecting the movements and trying to get our run game going. And special teams has always been something that Bronco has emphasized, and they're going to try to block a punt. They're going to try to, you know, get a surprise onside, and they'll do the swinging gate on field goal at extra point. That's probably more than you wanted, Willie. You just wanted me to go to the surface level here. But this will be a challenge to us, and I think in that way, there's so much on that film that is going to capture the focus and attention of our team and our players, and it's really important to our players. So I know they're going to be locked in. We're going to need to prep really well and be focused in prep so it'll show up for us on Saturday, and we can play hopefully a better game than we played against Georgia State. And that's that doesn't mean the result's going to be the same. It doesn't, you know, again, when you score 70 points in a game, a lot has to go right for you. You know, we just want to be able to play at our highest level. Again, the game against Utah State, it'll be 11:45 kick, so we got to be ready to go.
Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee has been our guest on D. Mace Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Monday throughout college football season. Clark, always a pleasure. Good luck this weekend against Utah State.
Good to be with you guys. Y'all take care.
You as well. Again, Vanderbilt hosts Utah State at 11:45 a.m. on Saturday at First Bank Stadium. Yes, Willie?
Can I just say one more thing about the stadium itself? Because I hear this has been true. Because I'm going to tell you, this gets talked about a lot with the Vanderbilt fan base. It's a, quote, older fan base. What I'm seeing, what I saw on Saturday, and I'm curious how it's going to look when they – you know, they've got another game, non-conference. Then, of course, the big dogs start coming through, right? You've got LSU coming in. You've got Auburn coming in. You know, teams that are going to bring a lot of people. Uh-huh. I want to see if they can dwindle, to some degree, the amount of fans from the other team. But I saw a venue on Saturday that looks like it's the place to be. It was a much younger, hipper crowd than I think I've ever seen. The people in the seat, I was sitting in the bleachers, like I told Clark. But I know, usually when I look around, I notice a lot of people like, there's that group of fans. I've seen them. They've been coming forever. They're still there.
So you're the oldest guy in the bunch.
I started to become part of the older, a little older. Like, but I noticed a lot of younger fans.
But that's good.
That is good. Yes. That's what I'm saying. They're finally, it looks like they're getting people. It's a venue that you're like, hey, let me check out this new stadium. The drone show, we were joking about. That was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a – I think you could get people to go pay just to go see a drone show. It was that amazing. And I didn't even know it was happening. It, like, stay in your seat. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a drone show. I was like, a drone show? I was like Clark. I was like, a couple of drones. What's this going to look like? It blew me away. Then you had Jay Cutler there. You had Darius Garland there. Mm-hmm. You had Michaela Blake's there. Like, it was much more hip. And, look, I am the first to say – in the past, it was not. Like, they weren't putting effort into it. Like, I was telling you, the Nissan Stadium vibe was not not that. It was not of effort, hipness, you know, the things that you got to do when you don't have the greatest place to come watch. But now, A, it looks like a real college venue. Mm-hmm. The sound system is state-of-the-art. There's so many cool things about it. It really does seem like a brand-new place.
So you said that Jay Cutler was there. Yep. You said that Michaela Blakes was there. Mm-hmm. You said that Darius Garland was there. You know who wasn't there, though? Tate McRae.
Yep.
Unfortunately for Diego. And he did mention that, I believe. Right?
Her loss.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got to start somewhere.
Diego, there are plenty of fish in the sea. They may not be as successful or gorgeous
fish.
As Tate McRae, but there are other fish in
he
the
want
sea.
He wants that fish.
But we act like this is the book is closed. The book's still open.
Well,
there's still some more games.
You never know.
Keep winning.
I mean,
keep
you
winning.
You never know. I mean,
go to the natty.
I mean, his wingman is sort of sabotaging him because he said in that DM, hey, if you don't want to go out with Diego, I'll take you out.
Yeah,
so,
what wingman do that?
That's right. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Excuse me. Again, Utah State at 18th ranked Vanderbilt this Saturday. Late morning. This Saturday morning, 11:45 a.m. kickoff at First Bank Stadium. Vanderbilt favored by 21.5. 615-737-1025. We will get back into the Titans and Brian Callahan, who looks out of his depth as an NFL head coach. Predators fans, be listening at the end of the following segment because I have a pair of tickets to give away to tomorrow's preseason game against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So if you want to catch some hockey, be listening at the end of the next segment for the cue to call, and you can win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Lightning tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena, where we will be for our show tomorrow. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, the game.
Cam, this is your adopted now hometown team. To hear booms come down from fans, how does that make you feel?
I play football, so I'm always going to have my opinion. I'm not really too worried about that. And I'm trying to score points. We ain't do that enough to win the game today. But, I mean, if I was them, I wouldn't be mad. I'd be mad, too. You know, I'm trying to win football games the same as theirs. So, you know, if that's what they're going to do, you know, we got to lock in as a group in the locker room and continue to motivate each other, push each other, and try to get a win.
That was Cam Ward after yesterday's 41-20 loss by the Titans to the Indianapolis Colts. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate at BAXHomeworks.com, our new presenting sponsor. Thank you to Bax Homeworks. You can visit them online at BAXHomeworks.com. Let's go to Dylan, who's been waiting patiently on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Dylan, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Yeah, this is – I'm sorry. This is actually about Vanderbilt football, but I wanted to ask Willie real quick. So being a fan and an alumni from Vanderbilt, one, I want to know how do you feel about the success that they're having now after just years of not doing so good? And then a question for all three of you is, do you think that the success of – last year and so far the success of this year mixed in with NIL, is that going to help propel Vanderbilt forward with prospects actually wanting to start coming to Vanderbilt? Like, is this going to be a maintained success that they're going to have year in and year out now and, you know, competing hopefully for playoff spots and stuff in the future? And I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Thank you, Dylan. Why don't you take that one, Willie?
Well, I'll try to make it quick. I think, you heard Clark Lee said it. This is a product, number one, I think, of having the right guy there, a guy who really understood what they didn't have before, because he was playing when they didn't have what everybody else in the league had. Now they do. And to Candace Story Lee and Chancellor Diermeier for providing that, and it took a few years, they were behind. And they're never going to have exactly what the top dogs have, but now they have a chance, if they're smart with it, to compete. So I do think they have an opportunity to continue to get better. I do think this is by far the deepest, most talented Vanderbilt team that I have seen. And it's not even close, really. And the depth is the key. They've never had depth like this. But that's where smart allocation of resources and enough resources are paying dividends. I don't know what it's going to mean for the next 5 or 10 years, but it does strike me this way. I don't think that it's quite as much about, hey, the tradition. But now when you can just show somebody the money and say, hey, we got a pretty good team over here. Check out these people. We got some good people. We're in Nashville. It's pretty cool. And we're going to give you 300 grand or 500, whatever it is, that person is going to be interested. It's not as quite as much of, well, Vanderbilt hasn't won. It's, you know, Alabama is over here. It's a shiny. I think if you can compete and you bring resources there and it's the best opportunity, they clearly are getting a better level of player.
Eli from Smyrna on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, my God, the difference in how prepared Clark Lee and how Brian Callahan sound is astounding.
Well, I mentioned this last week. We know that those two are very close friends. The irony, I don't know if the texter knows that or not.
Well, now you do,
but
Eli.
Clark Lee, if you go back a couple years, they were teetering. They struggled, right? Clark Lee was having a lot of question marks. It wasn't that long ago. He really looks like the guy that's got it together. I don't rule that out for Brian Callahan. I don't think it's smart to pull the trigger right now. I would let it ride. This is just me. People may disagree. I would let it ride through the end of the season and then decide, at least for another month or two. I just don't think it solves anything to make a rash, because he's screwed up. There's no question about it. But I think Clark Lee would tell you he screwed up some games a couple years ago, and he was able to overcome it and get better. It certainly helped when you started to have better players. Right there. This is a job right now with no margin for error, and he's not helping himself. And let's go back. Let's connect it to the soundbite we just played with Cam Ward. Derek, I'm really concerned with how Cam Ward is going to hold up through all of this. Because we knew he was going into the fire without a whole lot of protection. Now you take away J.C. Latham. Now you take away Zeitler. You see Calvin Ridley not rising to the occasion, but shrinking in the occasion. They need him to be the best guy. He's not. He's not playing as well as he's even capable of playing. There's not a lot that they're building around Cam Ward, and that was the worst fear. And now on top of it, you got people saying, just fire the coach. It reminds me of a discussion we had last year with UC Soros. Now, UC Soros wasn't a rookie last year, but UC Soros was taking it all on his shoulders for a while. He kept afloat for a while, and then he kind of unraveled when it just, the week in, week out stress of all that, he kind of cracked for a season. Now people are doubting UC Soros. I'm worried about that with Cam Ward, because we have seen young quarterbacks get crushed with, because he survived for 3 weeks. I love how he answered those questions right there that we played. I love it. People came to, they booed. Hey, I'd be mad too. We're not playing well. He says all the right things. But man, I worry about another month of this, what it might do to him.
I mean, it's not even what it will do to him. You have another month like this, they're going to fire you. Because if you have another month like this, you're going to lose the team. Teron was right when he said, well, I don't think he's lost the team because no one's, you know, everybody's still sort of being account, you know, trying to be accountable or are being accountable, and they know it's on them, and it has nothing to do with them. In their mind, it has nothing to do with Brian, and they still have confidence in him. That's now. That's 3 weeks into the season. If this continues for another 3 to 4 weeks, I'm not sure that if you ask that question again, you would get the same answer. I think you probably would get the same answer. And then the last person that sort of breaks, if things do break, it is the quarterback. He's usually the last person that, you know, in 9 times out of 10, he never does. He just keeps a stoic face, and, you know, he shows disappointment at times because, hell, if you ain't winning, I'm not going to take interviews and be laughing and giggling. I'm going to, you know, express to you how I feel and what we need to do or what we're not doing, you know, to be better. So he's going that – if they don't win, he's going to feel that. And the answers are going to continue. The frustrating part about it is the answers are always the same. The answers never change. Like, and that's the frustrating part about it, because every week you're losing, I know what question you're going to ask. The answer's not changing. Like, that's the frustrating part.
And you can sense it when you are in a locker room. I mentioned this in the question to Teron Davenport. Teron is a veteran reporter. He's been around other teams. He's been covering the Titans for several years now. The players respect him. They talk to him. But when you are in that locker room, when you are in that dressing room, you become part of the environment. And as you get to know the players, you pick up on things. Even if they aren't explicitly said, you can pick up on nonverbal cues or how a player answers a certain question that may be unrelated to what you're thinking. And I use the example of the last game I covered that was coached by Peter Laviolette, which was the Winter Classic, January 1st, 2020. I walked into that dressing room, and I talked to a lot of veteran players. You mentioned the veteran players, right? I talked to Pecorine. I talked to Matthias Ekholm. I talked to Austin Watson. I talked to Dan Hamhuis. I talked to veteran Predators players, veteran NHL players. And I could sense it in their voices. I can sense it in their body language that Peter Laviolette, maybe he wouldn't be fired on the way out of Dallas, but he was going to be fired imminently. And it took 5 days. January 6th, 2020, he was fired. And from afar, I'm watching these news conferences, and I was starting to get that vibe. Now, keep in mind, I'm not in the Titans locker room. I don't know any of these players. I've never covered any of these players. So how I feel watching the news conferences on YouTube is different than when you get to know them and you're in the locker room. And Teron says he does not believe that Brian Callahan has lost the team. And I will trust Teron because he's there. He's putting in the work. So I just don't know how much longer Brian Callahan can hold on to that. I mean, Derek, how would you feel if one of your coaches did what Brian Callahan did at the end of the first half yesterday?
Oh, you'd be angry.
But
you'd
you
have to taper it. And
but that's on top of it's compounding the other things that have happened.
Yeah,
it's compounding what happened in Denver and so on. It's not just a one-off here.
No, it's not a one-off, but I've always, you know, been one to say, well, okay, what are we doing, you know, to help? We complain about the coach. Yeah, I'm going to complain about the coach. I'm going to complain about the, you know, play selection if things are not working. But ultimately, it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, what are we doing to make it work? You know, no matter what are we doing to make it work? So the sign of a team to me that is sort of walking away from the coach is if you start hearing things trickling out, it could be one thing. Once you start hearing things trickle out of that locker room, we have a problem. I said that last time when stuff started trickling out about Vrabel.
Yep.
I said, we got a problem. I said, that locker room ain't what everybody's saying. And lo and behold, it wasn't. You know, they were losing and everything was seemed to be haywiring, but they wanted everybody to believe that everything was okay. No, when stories start to trickle out, that ain't just by happenstance. You know, it's deliberate. You know, so when things and if things start to leak out of that locker room, that's when I think we're going to have a problem. Or because this situation was different, Teron said, because of the logistics of it, they end up staying with Brian Callahan a little bit longer, which that's not good for Brian Callahan, especially in a loss. When it becomes about you and nobody's rushing in there to interview your players, that's a problem. So TD said, well, because of Brian Callahan came back, a lot of guys were gone. And typically that's how it happened. If y'all ain't in there, like we're gone. Especially after loss, we out of here. Here's another tell sign. If you start to see more guys not in the locker room, when people come to interview, guys are like, I'm done. I don't even want to answer questions. Because I've been through it. I've been on bad teams where, because of injuries, where we were so decimated, where we were just a bad team. And after a while, it was like you could see guys getting in the shower real quick, like getting undressed. Coach come in and say a speech. They hop in the shower. Some guys in the shower before that. So when coach is done, guys putting on their clothes, guys are headed out with their families. Like, I'm not wasting time talking about the same stuff over and over again. That's another sign.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We've got a lot of your thoughts to get to on Brian Callahan and his status as Tennessee Titans head coach. He retains that title for now, but we'll see. 615-737-1025. Also, Predators fans, if you want a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow in preseason action at Bridgestone Arena, be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see the Predators host the Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow night in preseason action at Bridgestone Arena. Caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan live at the Circa Sportsbook inside the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Head up here if you are looking for a place to watch Monday Night Football, and you can also find out more details on how to win a trip to Las Vegas to watch the Titans play the Raiders next month. One texter, Tom, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, opposite of Titans, was home in Philadelphia this past week and weekend. During the week, sports radio callers and hosts were attacking Nick Sirianni over a 2-0 record, saying he needs to be held accountable and make it right. Callahan and Philly would have already been buried somewhere in airport construction.
Philadelphia is different, yeah. Man. They're different.
He wouldn't have made it out of the season last year, I don't think.
Well, and I mentioned Clark Lee. I think, you know, there's more patience in where he was a couple years ago. He's turned around. That sometimes you got to ask yourself, look, like if that caller is kind of saying that's the right way to do it, does Sirianni deserve to be held accountable?
Exactly.
He just won the Super Bowl.
He's been to two Super Bowls, won one.
Yeah. So he had one little bad patch there.
Yeah.
They were 10-1 the season in between, and then collapsed basically at the end of the season. But how about their win yesterday?
Yes. Very impressive against the LA Rams.
There was some. Remember the old D-Mace? This is one where Adam will not have any idea what we're talking about. Remember, you used to watch the games as a kid, and it was Alcoa presents fantastic finishes. There were like seven of them yesterday. But they used to have this little NFL films clip of like, right. You at the two-minute warning of a game, they would show you a pass game that went down right to the wire.
Fantastic
and they had the slow motion. Yeah, fantastic finishes. There was definitely
Franco Harris.
Franco Harris was a classic. Or the Hail Mary, Roger Staubach,
yes,
Drew Pearson
that
was one. So they had a bunch of them. I was actually sitting next to Paul McCann, who was not doing the first game of the doubleheader yesterday. You know, he used to be known as Philly Paul before he became the PA announcer. His son, Zach, is being developed as the backup PA announcer for the Predators game. They're both enormous Eagles fans. They were watching the game. Paul was watching the game, and I was sitting next to him when that field goal got blocked. He went nuts.
I'm sure he did.
The Rams should have won that game. They had it. But it just shows you in the NFL, how in the world did the Jets lose the game with the blocked field goal?
Because they left too much time on the clock.
Because they're the Jets.
Exactly, and they're the Jets. They jet all over themselves.
Holy cow.
Let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our friend Adam from Portland, who I have heard on two other shows today. I don't know if he was on Chasing Big Joe, but why not? Adam, go ahead.
It don't matter as long as you're on ours.
No, this is what I'm gonna ask you, Adam, because I can't ask Willie. He's too tied to the Preds, and I can't ask Derek because he loves the Titans too much. So
okay.
I'm just gonna ask you, as a fan to a fan, have you ever seen a coach this dumb? Like that's the question, because I've looked through history. I'm like, not even just for the Titans. I don't think I've ever seen a coach make this many mistakes. Like were we talking about him this
you
much?
You must not have been watching the Detroit Lions. I watched them for
almost
– no,
yes.
You ain't watching the way – I'm from Detroit, so I watched them
Bucks
closely. So he's nowhere near the debacle that was going on. But I do agree with you in regards to him not quite looking so well right
Well, there's
now.
Franchises that are like that, that are problems. Like through the history, the Lions, the Browns, I understand there's like poverty franchises, but I've never seen a coach single-handedly – tear down a building. Like, this is just, I don't know. Me as a fan, I've never felt like this before. I'm so, just 3 weeks in, I'm like, okay, Preds, let's get here, October 7th. Like, I'm so pissed about the football season that I have to start talking about hockey. It's crazy, dude. So, this one dude, yeah, I want to ask Adam, because he's a fan too. Have you ever seen it before?
Thank you for the call, Adam. I would need to go through the annals of history to give you an educated response. So I apologize for not giving you the response that you're looking for. But I will say that Brian Callahan, as we started off the show and we'll continue to discuss, looks out of his depth as an NFL head coach. Now, can I say unequivocally that he is the dumbest coach in the NFL, or any other sport? I can't, because I can't say I've studied the intelligence. Well, yes, Urban Meyer was not cut out for the NFL.
Lou Holtz.
Mm-hmm.
Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Spurrier, that didn't go very well.
No.
And I said this to you, Willie, on the way over here, and Adam touched on it. I truly, truly hope that the Nashville Predators are successful this season, because the combination of the Titans being bad last season and the Predators being bad last season just sucked all of the life out of Nashville sports fans last season. There was nothing to be excited about. So,
from the professional standpoint.
From the professional standpoint,
Vanderbilt
I'm sorry.
Good year.
Yes, that is true.
Tennessee,
from the
being number one
year.
Alabama.
Pretty good year.
From the professional standpoint, Vanderbilt.
Although it's SEC, arguably is professional now.
you could make that argument. So I'm hoping that the Predators have a good season. So
well, here's what I think.
But I digress.
Here's what I think would concern me from Adam's perspective here.
Sorry, we got a texter, by the way. Before you say that, if you come up to the Circa Sportsbook in Franklin, Kentucky, inside the Mint Gaming Hall, that's what I was trying to say, you can get details on winning a trip to Las Vegas to see the Titans face the Raiders. Liam on our text line says, if you win the Vegas trip, are you required to attend the game? No. By law,
we
you would are
like
not required.
For you to go.
You don't have to.
We would like for you to go.
Derek Mason will be there.
Yes,
you
we
can
would like
find
for you
Derek
to go.
Mason somewhere in yes. Las Vegas. You can have a hangover-like experience with Derek Mason. How about that?
You won't have one of those, but...
like the Wolfpack.
But that stays in the flow for yeah. what I was going to say. What you don't want to be, Derek referenced the Lions for more than a decade, right?
Oh,
I grew
like
up
two,
as a teenager
decades,
in Orlando,
man.
Florida, watching a really, really terrible era for the Bucks, who you were forced to watch a lot. And you just don't want to be, quote, that franchise, that the bungling franchise that doesn't have it together, because that can linger for a while. You lose all of your credibility. You lose all of your confidence, your swagger. The Titans have to get out of this by the time they open that new stadium, or else there's going to be some rough times there, especially with the ticket prices and the prices of the PSLs. What it's going to cost you to go to that stadium, you got to have everything buttoned up. And right now they're in an era now. They're getting more and more removed from the steady. They had six straight winning seasons. They never won a Super Bowl, but they were not where they are right now. Right now they're getting lampooned a little bit more. It's seeping out nationally, the image, the reputation of what they have. There's not a lot of identity right now.
No, there's not. And Adam, he said something that I hope don't happen. And it's no knock on a prayer, because I said this during the pregame yesterday with Big Joe and Chris. I said, the last thing you want is for your fan base to start looking toward the next sport. When does the next sport start? And while your sport is still going, while your sport is basically not even started,
we're
yet
three
going.
Games into yes, the season.
You do not, and I love the Predators. I love the Predators. But you can't have your fan base on the other side, Titans, saying, boy, I can't wait till the Predators start up, because you've been playing. Not because they believe the Predators is going to be good and y'all are good, so they're like, man, sports is going to be fabulous for the next 9 months. No, it's because your program, your organization, your franchise is bad, and they're looking for some type of sports hope or some sports remedy. So they're asking, when does the next sports calendar start for the next team? You don't want them getting to that point. I love the Predators, and I can't wait for the season to start. But if you start getting people, if you start hearing people or getting calls on when does hockey season start, and we are not even a month into football, that's a problem.
615-737-1025 if you want to get in on the conversation. One texter says, the bloodlust is strong in Adam from Portland. We mentioned bloodlust last week in discussing yes. Brian Callahan. If you thought the bloodlust was strong last week, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, they.
I don't like that sound. No, thank you.
Yeah, let's never do that again.
No, thank you, Derek. No.
Clatties.
No, we're not doing Hannibal Lecter on the program. One texter says, Bears fan here, Eberflus was so dumb. So, Adam.
I guess so. So, Adam, there you go. You and Chicago fans need to talk. Y'all can come up with some good stories.
Oh, man, no.
Maybe and Washington fans, too. All y'all can talk together.
Well, one texter brings up Willie was raving about the drone show. And I know Willie is a pretty hip guy, but every once in a while he has his dad moments. And I've never heard of a drone show. I didn't know how many drones there were going to be. It's like a dad. It's a dad moment.
Have you ever seen a drone show?
Am I aware of drone shows? Yes. Have I ever seen one in person? No.
It's a relatively new thing, is it not?
I don't know.
Pretty new.
I go to a lot of games. I've never been in a game with a drone show.
But this texter is bringing up how you were raving about the experience at First Bank Stadium and says compare that to the Titans experience. I mean,
yeah. Well, I talked about my experience at the open. I went to the home opener at the Titans games, and they have mailed it in. They're not putting any effort into it at all. And I understand they're transitioning to the new stadium.
Yeah.
That's where their resources are. But in the meantime, you can do some things to have somebody who takes the time to go to your stadium. In the meantime, you've gotten, by the way, this isn't the last year at the stadium.
They got to go to that stadium next year. Okay? You're asking people to pay money to go to the stadium. So put some effort into it. Well, that's all anybody asks. I understand not every stadium is new. You can't have a new stadium everywhere you go.
All the resources are next door. They're telling the electrician, oh, by the way, go check on the toilets, too, while you're over there.
As I said to start the show, Titans fans, pick your favorite personal injury law firm that you see advertised on the station or in billboards around Nashville or on television and call them. And tell them that you are entitled to compensation for pain and suffering for having to watch the Tennessee Titans play, especially if you paid money to go to the game yesterday or last week.
But I'm not talking about the product. You can't control the product. You can control the fan experience.
So. Understood. My point still stands. I think you're entitled to pain and suffering compensation.
Part of your argument can be, and also the game operations, there's no effort being put into it.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. We want to hear from you in the 5 o'clock hour. Call us. Text us. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Brian Callahan, the Titans, and where the hell they go from here, because I have no answers for that. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.